Remember Roddy McDowall in that Kubrick film?
Sixth Sense?
Long before then. When he was, you know, a badass and he and his gang would...
Oh, Clockwork Orange?
Clockwork Orange.
You mean Malcolm McDowell?
Malcolm?
Malcolm, yeah.
Thank you.
Roddy's somebody else.
Oh, Malcolm.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Remember Roddy McDowall in Planet of the Apes? No, this, yeah, Malcolm McDowell, pardon me, in Planet of the Apes, in the scene where they were deprogramming him.
Yeah, they had his eyes propped open.
They had his eyes propped open.
In the movie theater.
And they kept pouring, like, drips in it.
Yep.
And they were showing him, right, horrific scenes.
Yep.
And he was fastened.
I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Clockwork
Orange. And then they kind of tried to recreate it in that show Lost when they had the Dharma initiative. They were trying to make some young guy fall out of love with his girlfriend or something. They're doing that too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess once you've got a good scene, it gets reused, right?
Yeah.
So he was, right, at the mercy of this onslaught of impression that he could not will himself not to see, not to hear, not to feel. Because he was fastened, and his eyes were, right, mechanically held open.
Yeah.
And he was arriving, right? He was screaming and writhing as they were forcing all of this imagery into his consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Where we seemingly are.
Well.
Who is Elon Musk?
Who is Elon Musk?
Yeah.
Well, anyone he wants to be, I guess.
I just saw a headline. Elon Musk says we're living in a virtual reality. Or, like, who's...
Tesla Motors. SpaceX.
Oh, okay. I know he's a wealthy guy, but I don't really know.
He's a little bit wealthy.
Yeah.
He wants to send people to Mars by 2024 or something like that.
I'm on the ticket.
Kind of like the guy in Contact who's going to send Jodie Foster. Like that kind of
character. Yeah.
In certain scenarios for me, where I felt like it was just like kind of being boiled alive by whatever, I can actually go back and look at them and say, wow, I just got over it. It's like, okay, this is the way it's going to be. Relax into it. It's just not a problem anymore.
You know, we get excited by remedial possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because our hope is that the way that we inhabit consciousness can work itself out if we apply ourselves, if we practice, if we get the guru's grace, if we eat paleo, if we chant, do yogyas, right? So being consumed by consciousness, as was Malcolm, tethered, held open, mechanically held open, no filter, that's what this is doing. It's bombarding itself with an array of highly pixelated impressions in smell-o-vision. So you occupy a position, and fall under the sway of this palette of impressions. And a sense of identity is, you could say, fabricated prior to conception. So let's say there's, you know, multiple layers of yoga, right? One layer of yoga is that, let's say if you're raised by in an environment, you know, by parents that have some intelligence, some spare time, and a certain quality of maturity stumbled upon or cultivated in their own lives, then they can perhaps impart, you know, a certain dignity onto you as their offspring. And we don't really know how often that occurs.
It happens?
Yeah, really it happens.
I think it did happen.
I hate those people. It happens too. They're so delightfully well-adjusted and charming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for the rest of us, you know, you have to kind of roll with it, right? You figure out how to inhabit your experience through the parenting and with the siblings and with the pets and with the parental strains and or addictions that may be going on, and you know how it works out on the playground and how you get your teacher's attention or commit yourself to being educated. And it's a right, I mean, it's a crapshoot. And the, let's say, the karmic proclivities, the behavioral proclivities that she come in with, they're just a miracle. Like, why are you the way that you are? Why is anyone the way that they appear to be? The way that they filter life experience or respond to it? Why is there an Elon Musk and someone that's not him?
These two perfume names.
He does. He has two perfume. Yeah.
You should patent that.
So we want to respond to the disquietude and the vicissitudes that are appearing in consciousness because it hurts. Consciousness hurts. Experiencing hurts. Obviously, experiencing is also, you know, an absolute thrill ride.
It is entertaining.
Completely engaging, immersive, and entertaining.
When it sort of like starts to fade and you're like, oh, that was kind of funny, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
So there's this next level of yoga, let's say. The one that's kind of impersonal is the karma that you come in with and the karma that you're born into. And then the capacity, the intelligence, the breaks and not breaks that you have of having to cope and figure out how to become whatever, financially, emotionally independent of your parents through the educational system. Miles and, you know, interests. So you get that far, let's say. And then you have, you know, the life suffering. The suffering of, you know, being lonely or alone or still having strong addictive impulses from, let's call it, a difficult childhood experience. Smoking at 12, drinking at 12 and a half. Or that's too late, you mean. Yeah. Then you get on some kind of Dharma wheel. You go see Sai Ma. Right, or you learn about Buddhism, or you find some kind of succor in the church.
In the sham church?
In the sham church, like this one. Yeah, and you do New Age stuff, Hindu stuff, and Buddhist stuff, and Sufi stuff. You do stuff. You belong. You buck up. you participate in some other kind of conformist notion of how life's going to work out better for you, emotionally and spiritually and financially and sexually and all other forms of success that we're craving. And the whole thing is just a total ball of shit. Then there's this another level of yoga. Because this gets rarefied, you know. This is kind of a pyramid, you know. It's a pyramid scheme. It's rarefied. As you travel these yogic zones, it's more rarefied, which means there's fewer people. You know, at the top of the pyramid, there's fewer people. Fewer kindred souls that are somehow ready to put down the frantic and frenetic appetite for having consciousness work out to your satisfaction. with no guarantee or proof that there might be something other than that. The pursuit of sense pleasure in time is suffering. But we don't want to cop to that or recognize it. Because the pursuit of sense pleasure in time is the shit.
It's such heresy to not pursue, like to set down that pursuit. It's like, it's almost heresy.
Yeah.
That's what you do all day.
That's what you do. Thanks. Yeah, you occupy your experience and, you know, as chill a way as you're capable of in pursuing sense pleasure and time.
Oh. Or at the very least avoiding me. Yeah, sense displeasure.
It's the same. They're the same.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Avoid pain, seek pleasure.
Yeah.
Pretty much 24/7.
That's right.
Then the pleasure begets sort of like fear of losing it.
So it's not quite enough.
It's round and round.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
Comes with the package. You can't buy one half without the other half. Conscious contact with this much sensual experiencing, like Malcolm's, we're under the same influence. We're not tethered, but this is going on, right, in one's mind, in one's imagination.
You know, it's time to wake up. It's like big. It's like, come on, we're here.
Yeah, right.
Let's rock.
You have no privacy. You can't turn off.
Yep.
The incredible pressure of conscious contact.
Yeah.
If you go to sleep, you kind of can.
Yes. Yes.
But then when it's time to wake up, that's it. You fall a little bit sometimes, but invariably you're going to wake up and want to get out of that bed.
So there's a reflex that occurs. It's kind of a panic button when, over the course of your yoga and your life, you might be invited to relieve yourself of the pursuit of sense pleasure and time.
Is that include thinking about what you're going to eat at your next meal?
Well,
that's how I fall asleep at night, fantasizing about food.
Okay. Right.
Even that didn't work.
Yeah, right. Even that didn't work. You were in such a frenzy, you couldn't even fall asleep fantasizing about food. Jesus, you really must have been upset about something.
Fantasizing about other things. Like revenge.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That'll keep you awake.
Oh, it's thrilling.
It's more thrilling than food. It didn't put me to sleep. That's for damn sure.
So we are very childish in our clinging to
us, childish?
Yeah, the pursuit of enjoyment or pleasure or aversion in time as body, as self, as individuated creature.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to give it up. It's too much fun. Even the anger and the sorrow and the disappointments and the apprehension. You know, let's call it the poverty rate or level amongst the third world is excruciating at a minimum. But you're not seeing wave upon wave of suicide.
No, just here.
So even in dire, right, social, physical, financial, and health circumstances, it includes unclean water and parasitic infection and bloated bellies and starvation and siblings and parents and uncles dying from whatever, you don't see mass suicide. I won't do this anymore, right? The life force is so prodigious.
Mm-hmm.
It will just hang in there.
It is really more developed countries that have suicide issues, isn't it? We're arrogant enough to say, not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Who knows?
JWA. Just what? Superior. Or if you prefer JWH, is just what's happening.
You need a bracelet. That's right. Remind yourself.
So there's a portal, in a sense, that you... Well, you have to grapple with it. You have to step into the wormhole. You have to be willing to discover whether you can relieve yourself of the childish clinging that we do to experiencing. Now, most human beings wouldn't even know what that means if they heard it spoken. They'd have no clue.
No.
Because the confidence that's placed in the miraculous demonstration of experiencing is all we know. We could never imagine that there might be some other, let's call it, parallel universe right under our own nostrils. there's no curiosity or presence to discover what else this experiencing might be about than attraction and aversion, right? In time. Attraction and aversion in time, which amounts to sense pleasure, which includes, you know, avoidance, that's also sense pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no point in putting it down, shaming anyone, accusing anyone of sin, right? Manipulating them. right? For loyalty, adulation, money, and obedience, which is what the religions do.
It doesn't work.
Well, it works for the religion. I mean, the Catholic Church took a hit on the pedophile thing, but they're not out of business. Church for sale. Catholic Church going out of business. Pedophile thing took us down. No, they're good. They've got a progressive new pope. What religions have gotten out of business? I don't know. Scientology's doing well.
The Shakers just died off because they didn't breathe.
The Shakers. Well, so that's maybe the one that, yeah, because
they didn't believe in sex.
Because they were a small group and they wouldn't, and they really? And they were celibate.
The Shakers.
They made such nice furniture. It's a shame.
It's a shame they died. I mean, it's such nice furniture.
Zoroastrianism
is still around. Yeah.
Maybe the Moonies are gone.
No, I don't think so.
Moonies are around still?
There's like
ways. Such we can find some religions.
Beck and Carr is alive and well. On Carr.
The Bond religion. Pre Buddhism.
Oh, well, Bon, yeah, I guess Bon in that, yes.
Morphed.
Yeah, it's morphed,
it's morphed
right.
Into a candy, Bon Bon.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bon religion has become these sweet Tibetan guys that draw paintings over by the local yoga studio.
Well, I went to it's still around, though, because there's a guy in the Ardmore who does Bon Buddhism.
Right? Sweet. A white guy or a Tibetan guy?
Yeah, he looks like Alan Alda, and he has a teacher in He's a Tibetan in Texas, and he...
I'd like to be a Tibetan in Texas someday.
He did like a couple of retreats at the Plymouth Meeting, Friends Meeting Hall.
Sweet.
It was nice, really nice.
That'd be fun. Mm-hmm.
He's a psychologist, too.
So we are infatuated with ourselves and our remarkable capacities for feeling this the way that we feel it, and thinking what we're capable of thinking about and imagining and storing information and going shopping. And nobody wants to give up that neuroticism. Nor should they.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can just decide I'm going to give it. I don't think it's possible.
Well, not as an event. Yeah, it's not like you make a decision and... Your suffering is gone.
Certain things get stripped away almost involuntarily, but you start to get kind of stripped down. But it's not like choosing.
Well, yeah, I was referring to the interest, not a commitment event, just the interest in seeing whether it might be possible to relieve oneself of one's, neuroticism. The fondness for being me.
You taste of what it's like not to be you.
Being John Malkovich.
I mean, we all like to go to sleep at night, right?
Yeah, most, yeah.
Well, not all of us, but... Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like it's only the mind that doesn't want to give up the mind. Right? So, I don't know. Unless the mind, but the mind wants to go to sleep too, maybe. I mean, the mind probably has a love-hate, you know, relationship with itself. I love you. I hate you. Go away. Come back.
Well,
you don't leave me.
Yeah. You can find all those, right? Yeah. Yeah, there is no the mind.
Well, what was
and so it? And so, you know, anthropomorphizing it by having agendas
yeah.
is, you know.
Well, maybe, but I mean, what is it that likes the neuroses and doesn't want to give up? What would you?
It needn't be an object.
Yeah.
Right? It needn't be a thing. Or be in a place.
Yeah, I don't know how to sort of describe it then.
No. You're not alone.
Yeah.
Maybe it likes some kind of predictability. You know, like a child repeating a word 28 times when they first do it, and it's this thing, and they just fall in love with this thing, and look, I made a sound, and I hear the sound, and I make it again, and
Yeah.
And then it's more complex.
Yeah, we're doing that same behavior in a more complex manner. Mm-hmm. And because we're so embarrassed of what we've become, we're keeping it to ourselves. You know? I mean, I don't want to walk through Redner saying the stuff out loud that's in my head. You know, or anywhere for that matter.
Well, that's what, you know, when you see people talking to themselves.
Yeah.
Although now, you know, with these earpieces, you don't know who is responding to a
hallucination. You don't know who's talking to who.
Oh, yeah.
You put on an earpiece, you can go ranting away and really.
That's a good solution. No,
sure. You could be talking to your therapist. Bluetooth. We become complacent and therefore complicit in the routine of our appetite for sense pleasure in time. We become complicit and therefore complacent, or both. Doesn't matter which one happens. So the question is then, if there's a question, it's like, are you sufficiently tired of yourself?
Apparently not.
Good point. The push-pull of hearing as and in your experience that has you, you know, on the back of a rodeo bull thrashing about 24/7. Yahoo!
You know, another movie.
That's right. It's another movie.
Another same director.
That's right. On the bomb, on the way down. Dr. Strangelove. Yeah. It can be pretty simple to articulate, extrapolate the, you know, the genesis and the merit consequences of what we refer to as waking consciousness or consciousness. And by doing so, you know, see if there's another quality of intelligence that you can bring to the table. Which is not dependent on CDs, tapes, trinkets, spiritual accoutrements, tithing, practices, repetition, loyalty, devotion.
The next retreat.
The next whatever, yes. Right. I mean, how does a person like Sai Ma create, you know, such a, call it widespread community of an epidemic of dependency relationships in hopes of healing, in hopes of enlightenment, in hopes of magical powers, in hopes of abundance, in hopes of...
It's a reflection of the level of desperation in your average world.
Yeah, these are all exploitations. Yeah. The religions are all exploitive. And the gurus, you know, whether they're wearing pink or white or red or, you know, if they're secularly minded, it's just an exploitation. It's consciousness is exploiting itself.
It's a mutual thing, usually. You know, it can be mutual.
Well,
you know, it takes two to tango. And
yeah.
People show up because they want something. It's like the religion.
Yeah, in that case where people gather to do a thing, it's, you know, ideally it's mutual.
We're pretty lucky in this country. It's not enforced. There's lots of freedom to pick and choose where you want to go.
That's right. That's right.
Choose based on what you think is going to give you the whole.
Yeah, you can even choose like the vaccine schedule that is given to your infant.
I guess we're also brainwashed.
It's a deep, prolific, profound indoctrination and brainwashing.
But if there's no hope, there's no power. So I guess the hooks, you know, it's a symbiotic thing, you know? Velcro and the loops, you know, and the loops and the hooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do sometimes wonder, what is it that draws me to repeat certain experiences I know are a dead end?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a short-term gain to it, but you know, it's sort of like life-draining rather than life-giving. And maybe it's the way when the fruit is beyond a little ripe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope we get eaten just when, you know, at our peak. In other words, consumed by life itself in some way. I mean, a human becoming. Am I consciously manipulating my becoming?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it becoming its self? And then the great awakening is that that's tiny point is not a definition. It's just you're kind of riding it away. But the you is not, it's not local, it's not, it doesn't have height and width and depth. And
you are naturally silent.
It goes in and out, you know, of I am this to wow. And then back to I am this, cool or sucks. But the wow part is, it doesn't matter what this is or isn't. And I think that's what I like about this little dance we do here. Yeah, the mind's going to grab a hold of something, even this idea I'm trying to spit out. And it'll eventually loop in upon itself, and I won't know what the heck I'm talking about, and I'm already there.
Well done.
Okay.
28 seconds.
Point.
28 seconds, a record.
Yeah, your sound.
Part of the yoga is a discovery of one's, let's say, natural, innate, effortless sounds. That presence is felt. There's a fullness and an emptiness that have no, that are not at odds, that are not mutually exclusive. You breathe the invisible gas without too much strain. And you wean yourself from having to go to mind, or preferring to go to mind, to weave a story. You're not recreating yourself through mental abstraction.
And the word availability is coming to mind. It's like, here's all this evolution of whatever to this moment. And am I preoccupied with it? Or am I fully available to the field, whatever that is? And if I'm thinking of my next story, I'm preoccupied with myself.
Yes. Yes. Right. If we're abstracting through mentation, preference, storytelling, disappointment, revenge, whatever we got going on, and we're all pretty creative, then you are, let's say, the chemistry of being, the chemistry of your present experience is consumed in a virtual reality of this abstract, of this abstracting, which is, comes in smell-o-vision. It's highly pixelated because your blood gases are involved, your emotions involved, your body temperature is involved, your sense of self and indignation is involved. You might be enraged, you might be in love, you might be terrorized, you know. So it's a full woo, right? So even though it may be virtually appearing, the entirety of your somatic, let's say, being and presence accompanies it. I mean, if you're reaching to get a glass from the cupboard so you can pour yourself a nice scotch, you know, you don't have to be thinking too much about it. But who knows? You're right. Your body, your saliva, your whatever you are is already in anticipation of the, right, the fume and the aroma and the taste of the alcohol before you've, you know, finished pouring it. It's like everything is foreplay. We're in a, you know, streaming kind of foreplay, and there's no real destination or finality to the miraculous presentation of, you know, sense pleasure of being. It fucking rocks.
Whoa.
This is abundant. I may not have that much money in the bank, but my being, my presence, the movement of experience is, right, it's abundant. I mean, beyond abundant. It's intoxicating. And this, you know, profundity of experiencing, at least in what we refer to as humans, this seems to be accompanied by a very, very robust neocortex. An incredible power of imagination. And our imagination is spatial and temporal, and all the five senses are included in what we're capable of imagining, and we respond somatically to what is the, what it is that we're imagining, and we're doing this in the privacy of our own experience while we're pouring a glass of scotch or having a conversation or taking the train downtown. Like poor Malcolm McDowell. So this inebriation, consciousness as inebriation, self-inebriating, because there is no mind, there is no object, there is no entity that could actually be found anywhere. There's just this, the pressure, the perfume, the intensity of this conscious contact. But you won't find a mind. You won't find self. You can imagine it, and then you could pin the tail on the donkey and blame something or other for what this is or isn't, but you'd be mistaken, because you made it up. You can do it, but you made it up, and therefore whatever you derive from it, you would be mistaken. Not that that's a problem, really. You know, I mean, genocides get a little messy from time to time. You know. So what's the invitation then? Is there an invitation you know, and is not just an invitation, but is there a curiosity? Is there an impulse in you, whoever or whatever you are, to, I don't know, I'm not sure what it is. Why does someone want to be what it is they think they want to be? Why does someone want to study, pursue, cultivate, practice, purify, in hopes of being enlightened someday? Why?
Look beyond the surface. To go with that sense that there's something more than just this bullshit story that I'm fed most of the time.
It's kind of a Star Trek thing.
It goes spelunking into the depths of what's kind of at the root rather than living at the surface. If you've gone there a little bit, you find that it's a hell of a lot more interesting than skimming along the surface and just taking things at face value like everybody does. If the only thing that's really interesting, what's really going on?
Something funny, there's a disagreeable person one time. He was so looking for an argument, and all I did was agree with him. Every time he kept changing, he got more and more furious.
Mm-hmm. Agreeing could turn out to be a kind of mimicry, yeah. Really, and piss somebody off.
Really piss somebody off.
I didn't want to argue. I didn't want to fight. And this person,
yeah.
If I agreed with one point, he changed the point.
Mm-hmm.
And then argued the opposite. And I go, well, yeah, now that you look at it that way, you can do that.
Yeah.
He was probably ready to strangle me.
No, but the guy sleeping, overhearing us talking, was about ready to strangle me. Don't you have a view about anything?
Yeah. Get a spine, Dave. Come on.
Was this that night in jail?
Excuse me?
Was this the night in jail?
Oh, this guy was a sadhu from the mountains. He's probably, he was a European guy. And he's just caught up and just wanting to be disagreeable.
I didn't think sadhus got disagreeable.
But you know, I
what's his name, Dave, right? Who was it?
I don't know if he was just poking me to see, you know, see what makes me, you know, what riles me up, what gets me going.
Yeah. What's that?
Ramesh Balls on Fire.
Balls on Fire.
That was his nickname.
But you know, how many times have I gotten hooked into wanting to convince somebody of something? And I get so easily worked up because that person is just, they're not biting, they're not buying.
Well, it's that dynamic that it's hard. If somebody's doing that sort of, it just makes you want to punch them in the nose. Believe me, I try to start fights, so when you don't have somebody who likes to fight, it's very frustrating. Stop being so nice! Then you just feel like an asshole. Yeah, but not in that case. I can go over like that.
No, you can't.
I think there's
speaking for who?
I think more interesting than having an answer is to ask a question or hold open a question or a mystery, I guess, and not necessarily think I got to try to figure it out. It's like. And you know how to describe this. You wake up and you listen to a bird, you know, and you hear the sound of a plane going by. And
you mean presently or at a time in the past?
Well, right now I'm listening to a bird, and I do hear a plane going by. Isn't that interesting? I was thinking of the past, but the present just showed up.
Wow, you're a manifester.
Keep talking, you'll arrive in a circle of
this. I'm thinking of a pizza.
Supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking of a pizza and cold beer. See how long it takes.
You never know. I mean,
I know.
That would be super funny.
Somebody was telling me about a blueberry
if
something.
You're looking at all the pizza. They tried seeing all orders of pizzas.
Sweet
pizza.
Then we'd make a gift out of it.
If anyone's listening and near a phone, we're at Pebble Hill Church on 320 Edison Furlong Road. Doylestown Pizza is not far from here.
That be something.
Well, now.
You guys are so good, man.
Hey, manifest is manifest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. An operator is standing by.
Yeah, what would an inquiry fundraiser look like?
Now, see, what happens is we go into we go into our imagination for one form of contemplation. I was listening to a bird, a plane, right? So you are, like any of us, right, ruminating as a way of entraining your present attention. So we're playing around with, well, how else can you engage present attention without resorting to, right, rumination?
It's almost like using your senses in a completely foreign way. It's not the normal straight to your head kind of thing. I want to say it's more physical, but that doesn't quite get it. There's a different dimension that goes with the physicality when you're there. No head.
Visceral.
You've got a no head.
I guess that's still body related.
There's, right, a limitless presentation of how this can be or is being felt. So visceral or body or, you know, other ways that you could start to describe how you're engaging your present experience are all, you know, fair. They're all fair. What a trick, let's say, is you don't really know. Or you can't really know what happens to the quality of your present experience if you are able to withdraw from the habit of rumination.
But that does sound like it's sort of a skill set, you know, that it doesn't...
Yes.
I guess until it just is, but...
It always just... is, we've been conditioned to take our rumination for granted, or that the virtual reality that is construed by thought is a bona fide dwelling place. And then we discover perhaps that it's not. So, redwell. Your life, this is present, redwell.
Do over?
Do over.
And now I got BB King in my head, the thrill is gone. You're thrilled by something and you feel like the world is in your hands, and then all of a sudden it's yesterday, it's stale, it's just kind of rehash.
Mentation is stale. Mentation is rehash.
Meaning mental versions of what we experience.
Thinking, thought, dwelling in a virtual reality made of thought and association is stale.
Well, it's sometimes not stale at all. It's just torturous.
Okay. Torturous. Here's your present experience at your doorstep. Knock, knock, ding, dong. Can Dave come out to play?
Yeah, but if I'm actually physically being tickled by a feather, and I'm absolutely, in a lucid way, feeling like I'm being tickled by a feather.
Yes.
Is there a difference?
Well...
And would I know if I was making up one?
Again, it's a tree in the forest kind of thing. Right? The invitation is, here's presence. How are you dwelling in it? How are you dwelling as it? There is no hypothetical or a million of them on tap.
Is it more like undwell than redwell? I know that's not a word, but I guess I don't understand the redwell.
Undwell is fine.
Are you saying like sort of reorient?
Yes. Yeah, here this is, here you are. Both of those are kind of a lie, but I don't know. Presence is so, right? The irrefutability of what you might refer to as experiencing is so. Okay. What does it feel like if you, right? Don't go to thought as the arbiter, as the reporter, as the imaginer.
The thought's going to still come.
No, no.
Meaning you just don't.
No, that's an idea.
I think I'd just go right out of the body.
Okay.
And I know I just said I think, but...
You see how much fun this is, at least for me. You may not think so, but I'm encouraging, right, the quality of presence that doesn't have, is not accompanied by an idea or what might happen. Here it is. Discover it at hand. This is present experience. If I'm not concocting an idea or a hypothetical, what does it feel like? As you experiment with feeling present experience in all of the textures that it demonstrates or reveals to you, you don't have to take inventory. You're free from the reflex of imagining how things might be if XYZ. You don't have a future. You don't have a past. There's no point in even being here now.
There's no point in not being here now.
The idea.
I know what you mean. It's my, what do you call it?
So you do like to argue.
That part, yes.
Contrary, Dave.
The contrary.
Notice that you are so, this is so, experiencing is so, and it is not dependent on having an idea. It's not depending on what you are planning to do.
I think you could get a flying fuck.
Yeah, yes. So we're playing around with a curious membrane, let's say. Presence is so. Presence can be and is being felt without accompaniment. Our habit, right, our conformist habit is accompaniment. Then we lose the sensation. Right? The, call it the actuality, the texture of presence. And right? We're in accoutrement, amenity. In that way, realization is not some magical thing that is evading you somehow, that you're holding out as a beggar for it to occur through, right, some intervention that you're not entitled to in the first place. Right? Because nobody's worthy of anything.
Especially not us.
Especially not us.
If you're worthy of something, then you're not worthy of something, and before you're starting to get complex.
You get complex in a hurry, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did I do to be worthy? What did I do not to be? I wish I were somewhere else. The word coherence kind of stuck in my brain. It's kind of an interesting word. Does coherence have a place in sort of elevated to the idea that somehow the web's all connected and you're aware of it. Is that thought?
You tell me.
I suspect not. Not in the sense of the brain-body identification to personhood. But then again...
Well, you've just created a weave using... language, thought, implication, right? Hypnotic referral, creating an object about what?
That these facilities are stuck together in a being and is able to be elocuted. I like that word too.
And electrocuted in your case might be better, yeah.
That's right.
Well, let's trace back the last 30 seconds or so, or a minute, So there's an effulgence, right, appearing, an idea. The idea is accompanied by eloquent symbology, words and phrases, and the implication of words and phrases. And all words and phrases can do is imply an object. That's all they can do is imply an object, but your present experience is not, it's not an object. So here's this membrane, right? This curious membrane, which is, you could say emptiness and form don't actually have a membrane because they're one and the same. But if you could play around with emptiness and form, you know, having a meeting place, right? A line in the sand. Emptiness would be this presence without amenity. And form would be all the shit that you think about. The framing that occurs spontaneously in virtuality as ideas, which is a form of inebriation, drunkenness. The, call it default, right, of human consciousness is, the police will pick you up for DUI. DWI, driving under the influence, driving while intoxicated, right?
Driving without an identity.
Driving without a yeah, that would be good.
Who are you? I don't know.
So we are living life DUI. We're under the influence of the inebriation of hypotheticalism.
Just like the people who text when they drive, we really get pulled over for them.
Just like them.
But there's a hungry dog.
We're all texting while living.
I mean, is that naturally wired?
A
hungry dog would dream of bones sometimes.
Well,
a juicy, meaty bone.
But you can draw any conclusion, any reference, any imagination that you may care to. So some dogs dream of bones, other dogs may not. It would be hard for us to do a survey.
We can investigate this dog thing.
I didn't mean to get too deep.
Cats dream of fish.
Don't call the canine unit on me.
I dream of ice cream.
Now, sometimes I just wonder what pops out and where does it come from. Am I making this stuff up, or is it made up and I just happen to bump into it? Mm. Or it bumped into me?
It's like the
food's
really back up.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not take a look at the arising as intimately as you can? Not later on when you wonder how it happened, but as in now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you can't see the nature of arising occurring in present experience by wondering what happened after the fact. This is arising. Here it is.
It's not the same as the I am. I don't know why I struggle with that whole thing. But
the I am?
I don't understand what the I am is.
Neither do they.
They are.
The ones that use it,
yeah.
They don't either.
Okay.
You don't have to be enrolled in their, you know, their catch 22. This is so. You want to call this I am? Fantastic. You see, we don't know what to call it. And it's not calling itself anything at all.
Yeah.
So you can pick from, right, the entirety of human history and religiosity and call it whatever you feel like calling. It won't help. It doesn't hurt, but it won't help. You can't call this the right thing at the expense of calling it the wrong thing.
As long as it's not on the test, it's fine. I guess so. Is it?
It's fine. Why not notice presence without effort, without strain, without having to enroll, right? Presence is pretty chill. It doesn't, you don't need to cling, right, to it. To say, aha, I'm noticing presence. Because, see, that becomes an object again.
Yeah.
You're so deliciously so, and you needn't expend a calorie for this irrefutability to be in your face. During the phase of this kind of discovery that we're playing with the yoga of it, you might notice a kind of an accordion, right, process of like, wow, I'm thinking. Oh, I'm thinking. Oh, I'm thinking. You see? And that's okay. The strain of that is, I would say, to your advantage. Or inescapable, unavoidable.
The thinking is just part of the picture.
That's right. When it's seen through the texture, thinking is not non-perturbing.
You don't have to let it take you down the road.
But it's just a subtle distinction, you know.
That's what we're playing around with. This is incredibly subtle because the arising happens without even noticing it. And all of a sudden, you're 18, 20, 40 words deep thinking, what's this about? And it's like, oh boy, I had an idea. It sounded good at the time. I expressed the idea, and I had fun doing it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. It's a happy fuck you.
That's right.
Yours, it's a...
It's an inclusive fuck you.
Just popped up.
It's like, fuck us.
Unless I'm feeling kind of down, and if they don't approve of me, I might feel bad.
We know that you're capable of being grumpy and jovial, probably within the same minute.
Security. Yeah, I am seeing more immediacy. And there's preconceptions that girdle bubbled up versus things that just pop in. They just interject. Like, say, the story is being told again. And then all of a sudden it's infected. And then it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? I never quite, I didn't know what, you know, and then it's somehow brighter.
Could it be a pizza?
There you go. That's right. That's right. Send your Bitcoin to so-and-so and
soon find out.
No. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Hi. Hey there.
Hey. Just want to thank you for those computers. And since you guys are here every week, just let you know, we have internet access here now.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's called Yellow Barn and Yellow Barn Streaming.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for coming up to share that with us.
All right.
So if you don't get bored, get on, go online. Play.
You make good vibrations tonight?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We had Ellie and D.
Cool.
It was a senior group.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Take care.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the pizza?
I think the irritation piece for me is the word I'm.
Okay.
Or my, or I.
Yeah.
Before the thinking, before the wanting, before the dreaming, before the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, oh, that worked well for me. That didn't work so well for me. I.
Virtual imagination and identity are the same.
Say that again.
Virtual imagination and identity are the same.
Because it kind of splits off from the absolute presence. doesn't in a way. Like,
oh, cool.
It can. In other words, the inebriation is so profound that the sensitivity that is, let's say, necessary to notice presence, that sensitivity, you could say, is easily derailed by, right, a thought stream. And thought stream is identity. It is it. It's not that it creates it. It is it.
Is it identity in all cases?
Check it out. If
say not always.
Okay.
Is thought stream and stream of consciousness the same thing?
Well, this is whatever you want to call it.
Does the thought need a brain? That would be another way of putting it too.
Don't know.
I do quite a bit with it.
Probably not, right?
Well, it's strange because
an astral body, you don't have a brain, right?
Yeah. Thought is an idea.
Yeah.
Brain is an idea.
An MRI would prove otherwise, wouldn't it? I know that's a very sort of like lower vibration. My mind's popping.
This is streaming. Right? Profound engagement. Streaming conscious contact. So your immediacy, your intimacy, your realization, your enlightenment is the streaming of this conscious contact. When mentation occurs, when abstraction occurs, right, language and word forms and symbology occurs, well, now you're living in, right, the realm of ideation.
Well, it's weird to think the verbal expression of thoughts is that then thought, you know, that kind of thing.
It's fun to, yeah, you know, run on the hamster wheel of the evocative nature of present experience and see if you can find any kind of causal relationship.
Those sages who, you know, say they don't think but they speak, like, what's that?
I don't know.
Is J.W. Hagen?
J.W. what?
Just what I'm hearing.
Oh, just what I'm hearing.
That's somebody.
It's not an acronym kick. Is that yours? Is that still made up here?
I mean, you know how they say it.
J.W. Hagen.
Elementary. No.
JWA.
Yeah. The text, the language.
Like, they both say it. Like, it's just what's happening. It's just what's occurring.
And that is very simple. There's nothing complex or difficult about that. It is actually very good news.
Although sometimes it's verbalized here that nothing has happened. But that's kind of challenges the memory that some process is grabbing a moment and ruminating on it while the moment is moved on.
You are refreshed with no delay. You're refreshed. This, the entirety of your experience is refreshed with no delay. You could say all it is a refresh. Your novelty's in your face. Is there a delay? Is there a delay that this moment never happened again? Oh, this one? There's no delay. You are disembodied novelty. Having thoughts and not having thoughts seems so absurdly trivial.
I know, but, you know, sometimes it's what comes out of my mouth.
Understood. As you play, as we play with this and hang out in it, whatever that might suggest, you might notice the contrast, if there is one, between this being felt and having ideas about it.
Say that again.
Mm-hmm. This being felt, the unutterable profundity of streaming novelty as conscious contact, and then having ideas about it. So what's self-realization? Well, it's really kind of simple. This is streaming novelty. Without delay. And you've always been that. You've always known that. That's been the most, you know, intimate aspect of your experience for as far back as you can remember. So the false identity that presumes to be existent as a function of rumination, as a function of language and thought and preference and comparison and opinion, that goes out of business. Streaming novelty. Unconditioned. Non-obedient. That's the, may I dare say, the root fact of experience.
Your Forrest Gump just stopped running.
Yeah.
And everybody's scratching their heads. Why? I don't know, I'm tired. I want to go home. And that's sometimes the greatest aspiration turns into a, geez, why did I spend so much energy on that? And I missed this. Sometimes I'm like, nice days.
That's the seeker's arc.
It's funny, it's like a whole culture of preference, you know, we have people who like taste wine and eat food and taste beers, it's all about like, oh, I like this, but I don't like that. You know, it's like a culture around
yes.
Identity of preference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're DUI. LUI. Living under the influence.
Louie.
Present experience is non-preferential.
So the experience you're talking about is not connected to a person or an identity.
Those are ideas.
Right.
A person or identity are concoctions, mm-hmm. Right? Of the basic fact of streaming novelty. You, let's say, re-inhabit yourself with no effort. the simple textural presence, appreciation, availability, wonder, immersion of streaming novelty. And you get acquainted with it sufficiently, repetitively, were there such a thing. And you find yourself weaning yourself from abstraction. Because the feeling of this is incredible. And the thinking about it sucks. Not that I want to emphasize any preference.
That's a paradox, I guess.
Kind of. But in this way, you have the wherewithal, the intelligence, the sensitivity to apply the profundity of yourself to this puzzle. You apply the profundity of yourself to this puzzle. And you begin to notice how...
Yourself, though, connotes something.
Well, it's meant to refer to the irrefutability of streaming novelty. And that you are not inert. You can steer. It's strange, but yes.
Well, that would be part of individuation, then.
It could be seen that way.
Who's steering?
No who.
Good question.
What's steering?
No what.
It's just steering.
Novelty. Novelty is acquainting itself with itself. In a more subtle loop or a more subtle consideration.
So it kind of throws responsibility out there.
But how can it be steered if it's just what's happening? There's no way to steer it, and it can be steered. Then that means there can be some force that's...
Enjoyment.
Steering.
It's the force of enjoyment, the force of beauty.
But that enjoyment is not always just all goodness and light and bliss. It's the other side too.
But it has not. But that enjoyment is not particular.
Right.
It doesn't care what's appearing.
It's rock and roll, and if you're breathing in pain or if you're just tickled pink, it's kind of loving. It doesn't care.
Yes. Being is not human-centric.
Yep.
It's not preferential.
That's why we're so desperate. Give me some kind of angle on this motherfucker.
That's part of the inebriation. L-U-I. There's enjoyment. There's engagement. There's... Right? The irrefutability of presence. We don't have to say it's your presence. There's the irrefutability of presence. The irrefutability of presence, this dynamic presentation, this streaming beatitude is enjoyed. That's how you steer. You go to mind, you're like, how's the enjoyment right now? And you'll notice it goes from like an 8 or a 9, and it just plummets. And you're like, oh, huh.
I know, it's annoying. It's a beautiful day today. And it's like, oh, it's nice out. Shut up.
Would you get off my back?
Just trying to take a walk here.
You're not unconscious.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just... Language being language.
Well, what's the vitality of it? Fuck language. what's the vitality of your present experience?
Can you use the words to best the life? Knowledge or something?
No.
You're just asking if
presence, feeling this. Feeling this. It doesn't even matter whether something's happening or not happening, or whether it's just happening or not. Because those are ideas.
Well, everything uttered is an idea.
Yes.
Maybe even a guttural sound. I don't know.
Those work.
Flashlights?
Playing around with immersing in present experience or immersing in presence without accoutrement, without amenity, without rushing back into your head, let's say, right? For there to be a story told. No pop quiz.
No pop quiz?
Cool. We have first to pop pop quiz.
I am is A.
What?
Food by Popeye. B.
I am that I am, right? Wasn't that Popeye's thing?
That was Popeye, yeah.
I am what I am, and I am what I am.
I thought it was, where's my spinach?
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am that I am, is Moses.
Oh, I thought that was...